My one defense, my righteousness. What an amazing song. Lord, I need you. But just let hover on that for a moment. You know, at creation, God spoke. And the Spirit was hovering over the waters. I just feel that's a word that needs to hover. Just hover on us for a moment. You alone, Lord. You are the way, the truth, the life. There is no way other than via you to the Father. And we thank you, Lord, that that is an open invitation. Lord, your arms spread wide to embrace us all. Thank you, Father. We need a defense because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. In a court of law, you have the prosecution and you have the defense. When the devil comes to accuse you of not being worthy, our defense is he is worthy. When the devil comes to accuse you of your guilt, our defense is he took my guilt, nailed it to the cross. He is our defense. That's why we need him. Wonderful. Wow, what a day yesterday. We were so privileged to be able to come and join with you yesterday, and we always count it an honor to be with you. Jane's going to come and share something in a moment, but I just want to say how amazing it is to see all of these pictures. I think it started with Joanne. Oh, now we know how old Joanne is. The first picture, 1974, 50 years of life. Wow. We're about nearly the same age in terms of, we were saved 46 years ago, and there's a whole lot of life, and in many ways our paths have crossed or run parallel, very much rooted. There's a picture of Roger Price up there. We were very much a sort of in with South Char during those early days. I travelled with Vic Dunning for a while, and Ian Andrews was our sort of apostolic cover, and so we do have some very similar roots in the world of the Holy Spirit, if you like, and probably why we feel quite at home with you. But I don't know about you, but when you look around here, my life, which is now 80 years, I look back and I see lots of highs, I see lots of lows. I think that film sort of represents my life, really, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because when you look back on life, that's what you see, don't you? You see the ugly bits. You see the bad bits before we came to Christ. But when you come to Christ, he unveils his goodness to us, and we can have that hope and that future. And so the ugly, the bad, and the good, I like to put it like that. But family church, when you look around, you're very much alive today. 50 years old and prime. So that's wonderful. I want Jane. Jane, could you just come up here? There should be a microphone somewhere, is there? Use that mic, can you? Yeah.
Can I move that?
Oh.
Okay.
Yesterday, one of the songs really touched my heart, and I'll share a little bit why Jane is going to share on that this morning. Go on.
Okay, yesterday I was at a ladies' event that took place at our home church, CLC St. Helens, and I had a conversation with a lady who is known for being very prayerful and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and often, you know, senses what God is saying. And I went up to chat to her, and she'd missed us being at the church. And she said, I had a dream last night. She said, I want to know, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, well, we were in London last weekend speaking, but if we're not at home church, it's usually because we are currently coming alongside another church during a particular season that they're navigating. And that's why we're not at home church. She said, this is what I feel God is saying. He's saying, forward, forward. And then she said, stand there. She said, I want to do this, she said. And she came and she put her hands on my back. And she said, forward, forward. And she said, please go home and do that for Jeff. Tell him. That's what God is saying for this season, for what you're doing. And I said to Jeff, her hands, they didn't shove me, but it was firm. I felt confident. And what's more, I felt that her hands were still on me as I was moving. She didn't take her hands off. It was forward. And it was clearly God's hand on me, or on what we were doing at the moment, the impact, what God was saying to you guys, clearly. His hands are on you. And he's with you, and he's not letting go. And that's the direction. I think I've given a good example.
Fantastic, thank you. So what a great song. Forward, that song if you hear last night. Forward, 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 forward in the name of Jesus. And that really amazed me, and I was so thrilled with that that I've asked John if we can sing it as we go out today. Would that be all right? Would that be all right? Good. We're going forward, 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 forward in life. And a lot of life in this church. 50 years of life, all represented all the way around the walls. And you're still very much alive, full of life. When I'm preparing a message, I do like to use some key words. And I like to look at what these words mean. And one of the words that really impressed me about yesterday, and really what I want to share a bit today, is the word life. And so I looked up in that faultless dictionary on the screen, and it says this: life can be defined as any system capable of breathing, eating, clearly, metabolizing, I think that means digesting, and moving, growing, and reproducing. And when I read that, I thought, that's church. That is a definition of church. We are capable of breathing. We breathe the Holy Spirit. We feed on the Word of God. We process the Word, and we live by it. Matthew says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's taking the Word, letting it become part of us. Our spiritual metabolism takes the Word off the page, puts it into our life, and we live it. Yes. Acts 17 says, in him we live, and we move, and we have our being, and we grow as we mature in these things. John 10:10, scripture that many of us will know. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come. I have come. He's not coming. He's coming again. But he has come. And he said, it's finished. And he said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. So life is expressed in the church as we live and we breathe and we have our moving in him. That's what church is. In him, we live and we move and we have our being. That's why we're here today. It's great when you get friends and you meet them and you go and have fellowship with them. We got Chris and Jackie here today. Great to see you guys from CLC. But church is a strange being because it gathers people from all sorts of different cultures, all sorts of different lines of life and class and, you know, the down and outs, the up and outs, and all of us are out in one way or the other before we get saved. But it gathers so many different people together. Because the one life that we have is in Christ. And when we're in Christ, it's him that brings us together. One life. Yes. I love Land Rovers, ex-army, because I love Land Rovers. Follow a Land Rover, it's probably got one life, live it. That's a good slogan for a church. We have one life. The life in him, let's live it together. You are called and you are destined in Jesus to have life and have it to the full. Abundant, overflowing. Abundance means there's enough for ourselves and enough to give away. A church does not exist for itself as much as it exists for those outside of itself. Because a great commission is that we receive from Christ for ourselves, but we give it away. Yeah. We give it away. We might touch on that in a moment or two. But you've grown. You've grown from a little toddler through the good, through the bad, through some ugly bits. And we all do that. That's what life is about. And if we expect anything else, then we are fooling ourselves. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You have tribulations. You go through things. Because even though we're saved, we're living in an environment that is contrary to the will of God. And many of us are influenced by things. And the more we get influenced by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the more will be released unity in the body of Christ. You see, it's only our human natures that separate us. It's the Christ nature within us. It's our Christ nature within us that keeps us together. But it's our human nature that separates us because we want our own way. But when we're living his way, we come together. And that's called unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And the scripture says, be careful to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Not create it. We don't create it. We are created as one in Christ. And what we're called to do is to maintain it. Don't let anything come between us. That's the one life in Christ. See, churches grow in a variety of ways, really. And biological growth. Well, one could say that Family Church, Billinge, has grown through biological growth. Lots of families, lots of intermingling of families. And there's a really good game, is guess the link. And we're trying to find that. And if I call you Becky and your name's something else, forgive me. I'm still trying to work out who you are and who you're linked with. Be good if you had a stamp on your forehead, really. But it's good. It's fantastic that that happens. Because it means that you enjoy being together. You're still, you know, the worship team. Generations. Fantastic. So biological growth. Transfer growth. Churches grow through transfer growth. Biological growth is healthy. Transfer growth is not generally not healthy. It either comes with people who've come out and been unhappy with where they are. And they transfer to you and they bring their unhappiness with them and expect you to be the people that are going to fulfill their unhappiness. And what happens is they want to change you to the way they want rather than them conforming to the image of Christ. So often, transfer growth is negative. And it needs to be dealt with. Some of the issues need to be dealt with. People came to my church from other churches. I'd sit down, I'd say, have you spoken to your pastor about this? And I'd give them a ring. I'd give the pastor a ring. And I'd say, can we have a chat? Because I've had this person here. They want to say they want to come. And I would make sure that they made their peace where they were leaving. Because it's not always wrong to leave a church and go to another one. You know, we had a style of church which was very much Holy Spirit-led, very much Christ-centered, very much free in worship. And some people who were in the church wanted more of a subdued Anglican sort of service. So they went to the Anglicans. Other people left the Anglicans to come to us. Some people left us. Some people came to us. When we left that church, when we handed over after 13 years, it was a good, vibrant, healthy church. I'm happy to say that some people had come because we were there. Some people left because we were there. But when we left, some people came back because we weren't there. And other people left because we weren't there. The key is Christ there? You see, we do have our differences. We do have our preferences. But as a wise friend of mine says, we're all allowed preferences, but don't let your preference become a prejudice. Because prejudice is wrong. Preference is okay. Like, I believe every worship team should be country music. Have I said something wrong here? I think heaven will be full of country stars. Well, I can only play three chords, so it fits. But kingdom growth is key. Kingdom growth is when the people who are outside of the kingdom of God get impacted with the life of Christ that's within the church. And they come and they find Jesus. Yes. And they're born again into the body of Christ. That's what we're called to do. You know, the Great Commission. I'm going to teach you to suck eggs or remind you how to. You probably know how to suck eggs, do you? You know all about the Great Commission. There's one thing knowing about it, another thing doing it. Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth is given unto me, Jesus says. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Can I just say that if you want to know the presence of God on your life, go and share the gospel. Matthew 28, Jesus promises, if you go and do this, he is with you. He's with you. He's with you. I love Mark 16 because it gives me a little bit of how to do it. I'm a sort of how to do it person. How does it happen? How does it? Why does it do it? How do you do it? How can you improve it? How can you make it better? Jesus said in Mark 16, go in all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs, can you say these signs? Well done. Glad you came. These signs will accompany those who believe. Any believers in here this morning? If you're a believer, put your hand up. If you're not a believer, put your hand up. Good. I was just going to change my message if that hand had gone up. In my name, they will cast out demons. Folks, whose words are these? These are not the preacher's words. This is not a hype meeting. This is a remembering where you've come from and where you're going. These signs, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents with their hands. They will drink any deadly poison. It will not harm them. We know what that means. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. We're in the same life group. And one of the things we're trying to look at the moment, Chris is an evangelist, goes out every week and bringing people to the Lord. Fantastic. But we are not seeing the signs and the wonders as much as we feel we should. And we're saying, why not, Lord? Will you show us why not? Lord, if this is the mandate for your church and we're not seeing it, Lord, will you help us to understand, A, why we're not seeing it, but what we need to do to move into it? Because his word does not change. And if my experience and his word differ, his word remains the same and my experience must change. Therefore, if my experience must change, what I'm doing must change. Because idiocy is defined as doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So if I'm not seeing the things that Jesus promised, Lord, help me to understand what I have to do to move into that. We're part of a leadership team of Love Wales, and it's an equipping, evangelistic equipping ministry based out of Ebervale. We teach on evangelism, mission, and revival. And one of the things I love to say, because it's in Wales, is folks remember it's the healthy sheep that reproduce. It's the healthy sheep that reproduce. Jesus is our shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. My sister was a sheep farmer in Wales. She gave it up a few years ago. And it's a healthy sheep that reproduce, and her job as a shepherd was to make sure that the sheep were healthy. Because it's not the shepherd that reproduces, it's the sheep. And the role of any leadership in church is to make sure that the sheep are healthy and reproducing in accordance with the mandate of the Great Commission. Forward, forward, forward. In the name of Jesus. Jubilee. Jubilee. 3 weeks ago, I looked at Leviticus 25, and we looked at what Jubilee was all about. And if you haven't heard that, catch it on the website or whatever it is. But Jubilee is all about, yes, looking back at all of these amazing events that have happened. But that's not the principle of a biblical Jubilee. A biblical Jubilee is a reset. Yeah. Because things are not right. It's not a celebration of, wow, we are amazing. It's a release and a reset and a looking to the future. Slaves are released. Debts are paid off. If anybody owes you anything, Release them. Let's wipe the slate clean. Let's get back to the basics. Let's back to how life should be. And then let's work forwards from that. That's what Jubilee is all about.
Amen.
We need to look back in order to see what went wrong. But then we're looking, clearing the slate and moving forward, forward, forward. Forward in the name of Jesus. I'm going to sleep with that going round in my head all night. Or if you put it in a shepherd's language, it's let's ensure that the flock is healthy. Let's make sure the flock is healthy. Because our calling is to reproduce. Our calling is to be abundantly filled with life, that there's enough for ourselves and an overflow. We touched on Nehemiah as well over the last couple of months, and we're looking at how the walls were rebuilt. And there's a bit more to go on that, perhaps. I'm not sure. But the walls that Nehemiah had to rebuild were not there to be some sort of amazing work of art that people could come up and say, wow, isn't this beautiful? Sit there with a cup of coffee and look at the walls and say, wow, aren't these walls wonderful? No, the structure was there so that the life within the city was safe. And the structure of any church, the structure of who we are in Christ, the way that we do things, is only there to help make sure that the life within the structure is secure and healthy and able to reproduce. It's all about life, you see. Jesus came that we might have life. He didn't come that we might have an amazing worship team. That's just a benefit. He didn't come that we could have a building that keeps the rain off, because that's all the building is, by the way. Yeah. And we've built several buildings and left them to the Lord, carrying on the purposes of God. Yeah. And we say, thank you, Lord, I had the honor of doing that in the time that I was serving that church. But it's adding facility into the kingdom. Never was mine, never will be. It's the life that matters. Freedom and security within the walls. And as we move forward, 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 I know the elders are wanting to build a secure base where freedom and life can blossom within the context of Family Church Billinge. Church is not about the building or the structure, but it is all about life. It's all about his life in us, but it's also about his life through us. His life in us and his life through us. Both a function and a ministry of the Holy Spirit. His life in us, changing us. I'm not what I was, praise God, says Jane. But I'm not what I'm going to be. So long as I hear the word and allow the word to transform me and the word to judge me and not me judge the word. Because the word is like a mirror. It shows me who I am. But it also shows me God loves me. And he takes me as I am. But he loves me enough to not leave me as I am. And he loves Jane that much that he doesn't leave me as I am. When you look back over the years, and you see all of the different, some I know have passed on, been promoted into glory. And they become a picture on the wall of our lives, but they're still alive in eternity. And we need to live with an eternal perspective. We need to see that the momentary problems we have to face are in the context of eternity. Lord, I'm going to be with you forever. This last 3 weeks has been, it stinks this last, well, it might have done. This last 3 weeks has been really, really bad, Lord. And you don't know what those people have said about me. And Lord, they've said, and the Lord says, yeah, that's just a blink of the eye. Yes. Either you've brought it on yourself, so repent, get right, and get on with it. Or I've allowed it for a purpose of transforming you into my image. You see, I believe if I'm in a problem, God will either get me out of it or he'll get me through it. But Psalm 84, we talked about it upstairs. Psalm 84 talks about the valley of the shadow of death. It says, it doesn't say about people who camp there. Please don't camp in the difficulty. Yes, yes. If you camp in the difficulty, all you will see is a difficulty. Yes. If you're in a pit, all you will see around you are the worms. But if you look up, you'll see the sky. If you look up, you'll see God's glory. Don't camp in the valley of Baca. It says, as they pass through, Psalm 84, the valley of Baca. In other words, as they move and as they focus on, it says, their hearts were set on pilgrimage. Yeah. Where is your heart? Yeah. Is your heart set in the difficulty? Or is your heart set upon the process of being changed from glory to glory that you may be seen as him, with him in eternity? That's what it'll be like in eternity. Boop. Gone. In us, fruit of the Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Producing the fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering. And if ever I'm talking about this, I do have to say that I have created so many great fruits of the Spirit in Jane Blees. Long-suffering, patience, perseverance. It's all because of me. Fruit of the Spirit. We talk, don't we, about low-hanging fruit. Yes. I might have mentioned it here, I don't know. In other words, if you engage with people just as you might be walking through an orchard. Oh, there's a beautiful apple. I think I'll have that. You don't have to climb to the top of the tree. People don't have to struggle to find their way to Jesus when they meet people who are full of the fruit of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, and allowing the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the patience, all of those things. They just touch your life. And you are low-hanging fruit of the kingdom for them. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. What happens when people upset you? I used to be, but I'm still in the process. I used to look for conflict. I don't anymore. Because I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me. How about you? We are called to be the aroma of Christ.
Yes.
We have lavender in our garden. And when I'm mowing the lawn and the mower hits the lavender plants, guess what? There's that awful stench of rotten eggs comes out. Oh, it's a beautiful aroma of lavender. What happens when someone treads on your toe in the spirit? Hello?
Yes, true.
Does rotten eggs come out? Or does a wonderful aroma of Christ emanate from who you are? Because of the work of Christ in you being expressed through you. What about the gifts of the Spirit? He works in us that he might change us in order to work through us. The gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts, the gifts of discernment, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, however many you want to add to those. I like to see those as the tools of the trade. My toolbox. Severally as he wills. Severally as he wills. Let me just read these. 1 Corinthians 12. Because I think this is important. And I'm landing on these because, folks, this is where we all came in 50 years ago. 50 years ago, around the time that this church was born, our focus was on the excitement of new life in Christ. It was focused upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in us and the gifts working through us. That's why we came together. We have similar roots, South Chard roots, Ian Andrews, Vic Dunning, Roger Price, Harry Greenwood, bless these people. Yeah. Wonderful. I was at Harry's funeral. And as Don Double was just giving the word about Elijah and Elisha, I'd said to David Elms, I went down with Dave Elms, and I said to David, I'm going to go and pick up Harry's mantle. Presumption or what? Because Harry had prophesied over us. And we'd given our calling into full-time ministry through the ministry at South Chard. And they prayed us into it. And I was there at Harry's funeral. And as Don Double was talking about Elijah and the chariot, a fighter jet went over. I said, David, David, it's a chariot. I said, I'm picking it up. Picking it up. What are you picking up? We can pick up things, these mighty men of God. You see, they received it from Christ. We don't replicate somebody else's ministry, but we can be inspired by them.
Yeah.
I do believe in impartation, by the way, but that's another time. But we are empowered to make a difference. Well, in my books, I write about, you know, who we are as Christians. And I know Chris likes this. I say we're people of influence and agents of change. Because of who we carry, we not only carry the fruit of the Spirit, we not only carry the gifts of the Spirit, we actually carry the person of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You see, we need to get beyond the songs, we need to get beyond the scriptures to the person the scriptures are all about. Because we can quote scripture after scripture after scripture, we can even, you know, go to a seminary and get multiple degrees, like a certain close relative of mine did. Now denied this faith, he got too clever for God. very, very clever man. But the fool says there is no God. 50 years ago, we won't go into those, all of the gifts at the moment, but they're for you. You see, we carry the person. There's a difference between carrying the person and therefore the potential of every one of the gifts. And I think as we sensitize ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God might call us into a ministry in a particular area. But each one of us, you see, if you're going along the road and you see somebody that's fallen down, cut the knee or broken the leg or whatever, you don't need a prophetic gift to say, thus saith the Lord, you have fallen off your bicycle, you have a broken leg. You need the appropriate gift for the moment, which would be healing. Miracles. You think, oh, I don't have that. No, but the person you carry in you has it. Hello?
Yes.
Let's get back to where we started in the very early days of being totally, totally sold out for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for the work of the gospel, and for the transformation of the area in which we live. You see, we're going forward, 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 but in many ways, we're looking backwards and carrying the good stuff from our history and taking it into our destiny. You see, all of these pictures around the walls represent your history. But God hasn't called you to your history, He's called you to a destiny. And you can make tomorrow, well, you will make tomorrow's history. You will make it. But how you make it is up to you. Yes? How you make it is up to you. History books will be written of Billinge the next 50 years. What will it say about family church that once was? It used to be. Or will it say, in this place, Billinge was transformed by a group of people that took their faith seriously, that took God at His word, loved not their lives, but pressed on regardless, going forward into the calling that we have. The Apostle Paul, I'm going to round this off here. The Apostle Paul, one of my absolute heroes. I will have a few questions when we get to glory. I'll probably have to join the end of the queue, which will be a long, long queue. Philippians. His heart's desire, his cry and his purpose. Verse 10 of Philippians 3. His purpose and his cry was that I may know him. Is that your cry? Or is it drowned out by all the rattle and tattle that goes on around us in the world? The heart cry that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. People get confused with the word power there. Dunamis. It's not the explosive power, the power of the resurrection. You see, Jesus rose again because sin could not hold him. It's the efficacy of the blood that was shed as the Lamb of God that meant there was nothing that could hold him down. Therefore, he could rise through every level of spiritual authority, principality, and power, and be seated at the right hand of the Father. And the phrase I've come up with recently is, when he said it was finished, it was completed, he is seated, it's never to be repeated, and the enemy is defeated. Yeah, he is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings. Oh, I like the first bit better. Becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained it. This is where we're at. We're in the process, aren't we? We're going forward. We're pressing on. Not that I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. I press on. That's not salvation by works. But having been saved, we do the works. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining, here we go, forward, 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 forward. I added those three on. Forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now then, that would be great for him. But then he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, let God reveal that also to you. My prayer and my heart's desire is that from this weekend, Family Church Billinge will catch a light again with a passion for Jesus. Not that you've lost it. Not that you've lost it. Sometimes I catch a glimpse of Jane just out the corner of my eye. Then I duck. Oh, no, no, no. I catch a glimpse of Jane and my heart leaps. Does it mean that I stopped loving it? No. It just means it's come fresh. In that moment, does your heart leap when you think of Jesus? Or is it, oh, it's Sunday, we've got to go to church? Or is it, oh, Lord Jesus, I can't wait to get there with my brothers and my sisters to worship you because you are altogether lovely. And I love being with my brothers and my sisters who you have made me, along with each other, you've made me one with them. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's pray. Lord, each one of us, each and every one of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us, by nature, rotten to the core. All of the best we can do, like filthy rags, fit to be thrown away and burned. But Lord, you loved us so much. because you are love. Not because of who we are, it's because who you are. And you chose to create in you a one new man, the church. You've brought us together. Jew, Gentile, bond free. You declared the favorable year of the Lord. The jubilee of Jesus is manifest in his church. And so, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take these words that have been spoken today. You would bring to remembrance those that are of you. And you just sift out that which was unnecessary. But Lord, that we might go in the strength of the food that we have received, that we might digest, that we might go in the strength, that we might be filled with your Spirit, and that we might go forward into the destiny that you have for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.